He'll be late, he said. He texted me.
Oh, okay. Well, let's begin with a prayer. Father, we're thankful for just today and just how you've blessed it in so many different ways for us. And we're thankful for just the chance to be here tonight again to discuss things that are important and need to be addressed. And we pray that you'll give us wisdom and spiritual insight as we try to make the good decisions and right decisions as we move forward with the church here. Lord, help us to seek ways to serve you even better and honor you and the things that we do here. We're grateful for all the members and for those that have special needs. We pray very special blessings on them, whether it's physical or emotional or just any kind of need that we need to be made aware of. I just pray that you'll bring that to our attention and help us to be willing to help in any way we can. Thank you for loving us. And again, we pray for our meeting tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, well, I think we discussed that since we got long last week, that this week we primarily talk about Ross's issues that he brought to our attention a couple weeks ago on Sunday morning. We really never had a chance to really talk that out or talk that through. So, I don't know what I was gone this weekend. I mean, were they there yesterday or?
He was, in the back. I saw him. I didn't get a chance to speak with him, but he was working there.
Okay.
I really feel for him. His age and his abilities, when he said he was going to start looking around, it just cuts you to the heart, at least it does me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that same group that, he mentioned was the Hanels and Goffs, and
Goffs.
There's a third one, I can't remember. But all those people left, and it's like, there seems just to be this wanderlust of people that I don't understand it, and it's because I'm old.
Yeah. Well, don't lose sight of the fact that, yes, some left, but there's a lot of that age group and that are still here, too, So it's more or less, it seems to me to be like everything. People just have very strong feelings about certain things, and instead of, I guess, seeking to work through them or discuss them or whatever, it's just easier to leave,
Yeah.
And we've had it happen
multiple times.
Yeah.
And he had mentioned, it took me back, and I'm not sure what to say about the being too political, but then. And then he mentioned the Hanels and the Goffs left and McCools.
Yeah.
And the McCools, it seems like there was something that was said, it could have been, I could be totally wrong, don't get it past this group here, but the Mitchells were there, and Jody can be in that moment there, it was pretty anti-police because of what was going on. And McCool, he was a police officer. And I think there was just something was there that was kind of offensive to him, which rightly so. I wasn't involved in any of it. Having worked with her, it seems like that may have been something. And then Jeff Goff, he wrote a 4 or 5 page letter to Jeff about some of his stuff with the racism and some of the sermon, especially where he apologized to the African Americans in a sermon, and he was pretty offended by that. And he had it's a great letter. It was, and I wanted to get with him just to talk about, say, hey, a lot of the things you said I agree with. There was, but And I think he got with Jeff and they kind of talked through some of that stuff. But I think he still had some pretty strong feelings about that. And the Hanels, I hadn't heard any of that, but I can, as I thought more about it, that could have been why they left and didn't want to talk to anybody. Because they were just, that was just a real hard thing for them with the racism, all of that.
Jeff Goff called me and before, and I said, well, you know, the Bible's pretty clear that if you have issues, you should go talk to that person. I said, I encourage him to go talk to, you know, Jeff Kreider.
Yeah.
And I was glad he did. You know, the result wasn't what I was hoping for, obviously. Yeah.
When they stayed for, and they moved out to O'Fallon to be out there, so I don't know if that was officially the reason they left. But he was having a hard time with that.
Their son, they weren't real happy with Webster Grove School District either,
right,
and found a really good fit for their son in St. Charles County.
Yeah.
And so moving that direction, it all came together, seemed to me, from my interaction with him.
Yeah. Yes, and so I didn't think they left because of that.
I think that was a trigger.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
No, I would agree with. So I didn't hear the first part, but I would agree with that was the triggers that had pushed them. I mean, we're pretty good friends. And so I know that they're much more conservative, like Jeff himself, on lots of things. And so there was lots of things that were just not really, he didn't feel comfortable always. And so then there was something that somebody said, and that was the trigger that he's like, I'm just going to start looking. And then because they had already moved out there and they found the school, that just made it an easier separation point.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're already, I mean, it's 30 plus minutes out to where they live, or like where the school is at. And so she was having to drive back and forth to the building every day.
Yeah.
And that was a big struggle for her. So that's why she quit at one point once she found somebody to replace her, and then they really started just moving to find a church.
And you said conservative in what way?
I think probably political, and also more not as, because they attend, like whenever they've been everywhere else, they've been at a Christian church and things like that. So conservative, more, a little more, I don't know how you would,
both of them grew up in the Church of Christ.
And we know Steve Worthy is Heather's dad, and so, and he's definitely on the very far side of being conservative. And
but I mean, I think it was the fact that Jeff Kreider was preaching DEI stuff in the church, and I had a problem with that. Mm-hmm. And I went to Jeff and I asked him not to bring that stuff in, and he really didn't listen to me. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just to be blunt, you know, I don't like it either. You know, white privilege and all this stuff. That meeting we had that night with, who was it, the three couples that came in, I was blown away by, you know, what they were saying. Because it was like, you know.
Who was it?
I think it was the Mitchells and the Wests and the Walkers, if I remember right.
No, it was Lewis and his wife.
Joyce. The West.
Yeah, and they were talking about, you know, we needed to have teaching to teach us to, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, who's going to do that teaching, you know? And, I mean, when Lewis would get up in the pulpit and talk about how great it is that black people had a superhero, you know, and I thought, no, we don't talk about Superman. It's just, you know, this is the stuff that it just grates on people, and after a while, they just say, I don't want any part of this. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm trying to be consistent that, you know, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we need to be, you know, able. We can have differences of opinion, but when we start, you know, mandating that, you know, this is what we're teaching people, and it's not coming from the Bible, I got a real problem with that. And I think, you know, that's been what I've seen happen.
So, yeah, I do think that the sermon series should be approved by the elders, you know, that we should be aware of what's being preached for those reasons. And, you know, I'm not saying specifically for the, that I disagree with those sermons, but I think we should be aware of what's being taught. For the Jeff and Heather, I think they were here when Jeff did his final sermon. I thought at least Jeff was here. They honored him in that. So I think that was good, that there must not have been bad blood. I think maybe they just saw some things different. And I think with Ross also, it's, I didn't have the understanding that they are wanting to leave, but they are wanting to see maybe how other churches handle life. That's my thought. I thought he was like once a month he were going to go look somewhere else and just kind of see, you know, how do other churches do this? And again, I think there's danger in that, but that was my understanding of what they were going to do. And I don't know if that agree.
Yeah, I think that echoes. I think that, so we've had lots of issues with people having bad taste in their mouth after interview processes. And I think that's where Ross is sitting. He's not really made it through the children's ministry one, that there's never been success and there's not been a decision made or anything. But this is the first one, and it's not, we haven't made a decision either. I mean, there's, we don't have a candidate. So. I think that bad taste that's there, because a lot of it is the echo of being more one direction than he is. And it's pulling towards the congregation being the runner of what it is and the negative feelings. And for him, that's definitely not what he thinks. He thinks that that's, we can't let the congregation be the driver of everything.
And explain what you're saying there.
I wasn't in the conversation with him, but I've had conversations with him about it, in that he felt that the congregation, even though the negative comments that came in from the surveys was what made the decision of the elders to send somebody away, even though the elders had a different feeling about it.
Yeah, so the two things I wrote down, so one is he asked the question, and I think it's a fair question, can a conservative white Southerner ever be a lead minister at our congregation? And so he was wondering if that could ever be. And I had hoped the answer is yes, but I don't know. But and then, you know, I think there's some feedback that implies that maybe it'd be tricky for that to happen. And then, you know, what you're saying is he said, well, there's all this feedback we got on the surveys, but did we ever follow up with the people to ask them why they felt that way? So sometimes they would express a vague opinion, you know, I don't like this or I don't like that. And it's like, well, you know, why? What's the root of that?
Now, and we're talking about John now, right? Are we talking about the
Ross's comment?
Ross is about John.
Yeah, correct. Right, yeah.
And it was, I think, specifically on John was the trigger. Now, again, I go back to, we were going to hire the other John, who is a somewhat conservative white man, but he's, you know, again, not a Southern, but there were people that would say things like, you know, he is traditional Church of Christ, or he sounds like a Southern preacher. And, you know, I don't know what that means, but, you know, I guess it brings some validity into a bias, and, you know, everybody's got them, right? And I don't know right or wrong, but, you know, so again, the question is, can a conservative white Southerner ever be lead minister here? And I think that's what his question is, and I hope the answer is yes. Maybe there's friction, but again, I hope that the elders, and that's kind of what you called us on when we were doing this, is, well, what do we as the eldership feel? You know, are we willing to overrule this? And I hope that we would.
It was pretty overwhelming what everyone was saying. It was, to me, didn't it feel like it to you guys, that it was a lot of people were saying the same thing? And so there wasn't, I didn't feel like there was a need to go ask them, what did you really mean by this?
And I don't disagree. I think his response is not proportional to what happened. I think there may be something because it was his uncle. He was overly sensitive. That's my thought on it. Because, it was overwhelming, the feedback. Yeah. And again, John, the other John, had a similar demographic about him, that we were ready to hire him, even though there may have been some people pushing back. But that's my thought on
it. And if you compare the comments we got back on John 1 versus John 2, they weren't, I don't think, near the level as they were.
Correct.
And I think, you know, and it wasn't just generalities. It was things like the things he said in his sermon, or, you know, that just sort of triggered things. And so, I don't know. I mean, this is so hard just because you are going to have people's perspectives and personalities. Doesn't matter who comes here, you know. We're going to have waves of both, you know. And, we got to sit back and weigh all that and decide, okay, does that make sense for this congregation at this time? And I felt very good that, because I was a pretty big proponent of John Blackmore at first, until we started getting some of these comments, and then particularly the ones that we got from like Philip that had some insight into his past working relationships, things like that. So I feel like we did a good job of weighing all these different things and saying that, it would be just not the right choice for us right now. But
and praying, weighing and praying over it. I think there was a lot of prayer in that.
Yeah, I feel bad, obviously, for Ross, because, I think I told Steve right after that Sunday morning, I said, probably that maybe one good thing that we should do, but we really can't do, is let him read all those responses, and kind of hear that it wasn't just, flimsy little comments, but these were people that had really given it a lot of thought and prayer. So I don't know. I mean, I file it under, no good deed goes unpunished. It's just we're gonna have this situation, I think, with whoever we bring in.
Well, and to me, how we started the meeting is indicative of that. We talked about Jeff Kreider and friction that he got throughout the years, and even with somebody as like a Jeff Kreider, you're not gonna keep everybody happy. And so I think just we're gonna have to face that and just deal with it as an eldership.
And would we hire a white Southern preacher? Sure, if it was a good fit.
Right.
And that's one thing I talk to youth ministers a lot is, you could be the same theological whatever and all those things, but if it's not a good fit, it's not going to last.
Right.
And that's some of the things that are kind of some of the very subjective things that you've got to be able to feel about. Mm-hmm. So,
when we had breakfast with Ross the next morning on Monday after the Sunday that he communicated with you guys, his primary, he was really good attitude. He was bringing it to us. He wasn't going to disappear, to his credit, and really his primary issue that was weighing on him was he didn't see us following up enough with the folks that gave us the comments. Mm-hmm. Some of them were very thoroughly thought out, but others were like, John Blackmore uses a phrase like, I'm a redneck. And we got a couple of people, I did, you guys might have, that pointed that out. It's like, man, we can't hire somebody who calls themselves, and the baggage that comes with that term, all of the, is he going to have the stars and bars on his truck or something, just that kind of assumption. And it's like, well, Ross didn't see us following up with those folks to say, hey, what's really behind that? And you realize that there's probably less baggage there from him than he was intending. And he had another phrase too where he used the term evangelical. And we had others with people that I love, but man, did they glom onto that and just could not see anybody relating to that term because of how, you know, Trump courts the evangelicals, and it's all the baggage with that term now.
Yeah.
People that are, and so they just don't even want to hear that word. And so Ross wants and is encouraging us to follow up with those folks and encourage them where they're coming from and realize that sort of those assumptions they were laying on him might not be healthy, or we sure didn't hear it that way, or, you know, that kind of thing. And so, they're still here, and he painted the picture for me, too, that the first Sunday of the month he plans to sit with his family and here at church. Second and third, he's got a commitment with the IT team, and his wife has a commitment, nursery and greeting or something. And then the fourth Sunday, he wants to visit some places, and he loves the youth group here. It's great for his kids, and he doesn't like feeling like this is the only option in town. It's not a good thing. It's not healthy. You're, you know, that is a red flag. But that's the way he described it, at least, where he's coming from today. And I've had some pleasant exchange with him. It's not like he's got some kind of a chip on his shoulder or something. So. Yeah. I do want to compliment him in those, you know, being forthright. He's being very transparent. And then he did say also, and you guys might have heard this too, but he's not pursuing this, not because of this fork in the road, but with his wife and how young his family is and all of that. And he really, and I didn't realize this of him, but this last year has really weighed on him to be in here and trying to feel like he's worthy of this call and preparing himself, enough time in the Word and all of that kind of thing, as opposed to just casually, well, you know, I guess this is what it is. And, it, you know, that's been weighing on him. And I didn't pick up on that until he kind of shared that. And he's like, yeah, didn't feel like he's in that station of life to be ready for it, but he appreciated the insight that he got and was very supportive of a lot of things and the challenge we have and that kind of stuff. So I just want to put that out there as well as we try to figure out, okay, what do we do with this? What do we, what strikes me is that we have folks that have left the examples we talked about because we're not straight line conservative, however you want to define that, biblically or politically or whatever. We're not conservative enough, and they've gone elsewhere when they get the whiffs of these things. And we've got other folks that are so sensitive to, you know, somebody using the word like evangelical or redneck to describe themselves that they just don't want anything to do with that person. And so, you know, if you can't please anybody, you're, I don't know if that means you're where you need to be, but there is something to that, that we're not, you know, throwing away half of the community because we're only going to appeal to one half. And I do think the people that have kind of rejected John Blackmore with their comments, they don't want to see us take a step back. They have a fear because we have broken some ground in talking about, and we could talk too much about it, or we can overemphasize. But, you know, when Jeff pointed out during the last sermon he did, the communion was done by Collins Quarter, used an old painting. Jeff points out, you know, the folks of color among us are squeamish about that. That had to be an impromptu fit in to, you know, his sermon. I didn't get any, I mean, I noticed that. And I thought, boy, I hope he can talk to Collins after, and I think he did it okay. But, you know, don't throw Collins under the bus. I didn't want Collins to feel that way. But I felt like Jeff would handle that all right. I didn't get any comments from anybody about, wow, that was either bold or inappropriate or anything. Did you guys get any comments from?
I didn't get comments, but I did feel awkward that it probably shouldn't have been said. That was my thought.
Yeah.
So I wasn't there. I didn't watch it.
They just a Renaissance picture of Christ on the cross of a whitish Middle Easterner being crucified. And so Kreider
Collins
said,
complained about it?
Collins put that up there.
Didn't complain, no. But he just pointed out that Collins made a great point that, you know, see yourself, find yourself in this picture. Are you the audience, those that aren't hardly paying attention, those that are crushed by what they see, the two thieves and their two perspectives, yeah. All of that. And so it was a painting that brought yeah. out, find yourself.
And he said it was a picture in the back of his Bible growing up. And so I'm not sure if it was that exact picture, but it reminded him
something
of that.
Yeah.
So then Jeff, in his sermon, said, you know, Collins makes a great point to find ourselves in that scene. And, you know, and we can grow from that and get some good insights. But let's acknowledge that those among us of color probably look at that painting from that era and they can't find themselves. They find it difficult, you know, et cetera. So he just kind of highlighted the point, but also, you know, gave support to those that... And so... That is just an example of, you know, not everybody's going to say that. Maybe that's pushing the envelope a little bit. Yeah. I didn't have anybody say, well, if he's going to keep doing that, I'm glad he retired, or any of that kind of feedback. So that really intrigued me, because some folks that are so sensitive, but there's something to be said about the ability to acknowledge, you know, things that are difficult for folks. And if that's valid, that's fine.
But I have the problem is, so the question should have been, what Collins showed, was that historically accurate or not? And if it's not, okay, you know, it's not historically accurate, and you know, it leaves out these people. And I don't think that it was. It's just historically that's the way it was, and you can't see it any other way. I don't know. It just rubbed me wrong.
Okay.
That, you know, I just don't know how you would, you know, what picture he would want up there. You know, a black Jesus, a black Mary, and it's like, well, yeah, but that's not historically accurate, right? And so, how what picture would you want up there? And that I don't understand. I couldn't. That's what I kept thinking is.
Well, and I don't need to defend this, but. You know, it's a Renaissance painting where Europe was center to the world and everybody's white, audience and the Christ as well.
Right.
And so if you want to, you know, have someone with a swarthy complexion and dark hair and that kind of thing, you know, well, that's a little more Middle Eastern, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe a diverse crowd, not all white folks on the...
Thing. As long as it's
I didn't
accurate.
Think it was necessary, and it took away from what he was trying to in the sermon. I kind of thought, I wish he wouldn't have done that.
So I get the awkwardness on both sides of that, just as a case of where we are. Mm-hmm. And
I think the important thing to remember is that it will be awkward on both sides of that. I mean, it would be, I didn't even think about it. Anything. I mean, I was following Collins' intent and all that, but it never even crossed my mind that it might be offensive to somebody, which I'm not saying that's good or bad. I mean, but I have a feeling if we surveyed, it'd probably be 50-50, you know, that people, you know. So I don't know. I feel like we have gotten very sensitive on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
That has aided to our polarization, you know, and I don't know if that's because we had more grace and mercy, you know, earlier, or it just never registered. But I mean, I feel like there's definitely lack of grace and mercy now in a lot of things like this, you know, that we assume, and I don't mean this specifically to anybody, we assume Collins knew what he was doing and did it anyway, you know, and I don't think that's right.
Right.
You know,
no,
there's just no grace or mercy.
Exactly.
You know, and I think where else should there be grace and mercy? You know, but
So what I wrote down while we're talking is exactly a hypersensitivity, and I don't know what we need to do, but I wrote down is maybe it would be good to spend 5 minutes, you know, during worship or in a after in class and discuss the lead minister search with the congregation and just say, hey, you know, it looks like people are hypersensitive. We've got people on either side. We need more grace. We need just understand, you know, we're not going to find the perfect person. And so I don't know if there's a way to just say, you know, we're getting feedback and...
I think there's a simple solution. I really do. The thought is that if we stay focused on what the Bible says, we don't have to worry about it. It's when we bring in cultural stuff from the outside that this creates this hypersensitivity.
Well, but racism is a very serious thing that's wrong, that we can find it in the Bible.
Right.
Was slavery wrong?
Was slavery wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
And how many years did the Israelites spend in slavery?
Yeah, but what's your point?
Yeah.
My point is that we are told that when people come into the body of Christ, it doesn't matter what color their skin is. Jesus made it really clear that, you know, if you don't love your brother, you've got a problem.
And dealing with racism is part of loving your brother, right? Because some of our brothers have experienced the racism.
Exactly. So, Steve, I guess a question on that. When Gwen got offended at Redneck, who was being prejudiced? And how do you address that? Because to me, the prejudice was on Gwen. Because Redneck, my father grew up on a farm. A redneck means you're a poor farmer, you're uneducated, you're a bumpkin. Yeah. But there are other connotations to it. And so, I mean, to your point, how do you address that, or should we address that?
I thought she was inappropriate.
Right.
And that's... I didn't talk to her because I saw they went started talking, and I was just going to leave it alone.
Right.
But I didn't think what she did was appropriate at all.
Right. And so I think on either side, it's not acceptable, and it's just awkward. And I hate confrontation, and I don't know how to deal with it. Yeah. And I don't know if Ross kind of talked around it, but I know some people were talking with her, but I don't know if they were comforting her, saying you're in the right here or what, but. There will be something that will offend somebody, even it's benign. Yeah. So, like, you know, to me, I would use redneck just describing my father.
Yeah.
You know, grew up on a farm in Illinois.
Grew up in Indiana and be called a Hoosier.
That's right. And so, and to your point, it's like, prejudice isn't good, but I don't know. So when that happened, I'm sitting here and it's like, I wouldn't know what to say to Gwen. And you know, now is not the time to say it, but, you know, but I guess to Ross's point, should we as elders, should somebody talk to her or you know, I don't know. So I'm just scratching my head on that one.
But back to the racism,
right.
We dealt with, I appreciated the fact that we dealt with it because I think it was a very biblical thing as far as how we treat our brothers and the whole thing. Some things I was not comfortable with, but that's okay. But I think the fact that we dealt with it head on, I thought was a very good thing that we did as a church.
I'm not disagreeing that talking about racism, it's there. But historically, you have to realize that, you know, it took 18 centuries before, you know, we got to that point. That, you know, and that's because we live in a fallen world.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And this may be as a white person, I feel like, in America today, it's better than I would never say this with a lot of people. I feel like it's better than it's been in probably all civilization, where we're in America, we're able to talk about it. People are able to freely talk about it and talk about being a victim of racism and all that kind of stuff.
The victim mentality is the problem with it.
Oh, I agree. I agree. Yeah. But then I'm not black, and so I don't understand that. So I have to. I think the Jesus way is to give empathy to them, and really try to be sympathetic empathetic with them.
Paul sent his letter to Onesimus saying, you know, treat your slave as your brother. And that, to me, you know, sometimes people are going to be in slavery. Mm-hmm. You know, we think slavery is gone. It's not. It's a different mode, you know, that Satan uses, I think. But, you know, the question is, you know, who's the Lord of your life? Mm-hmm. And again, if we've, that's why I was saying I wanted to preach on the issue that Paul brings up in Romans and says, yeah, you can have different days and different celebrations and different things, but in the end, you are all brothers and sisters in Christ. Mm-hmm. And if you can't love your brother and your sister, then you have a real problem. It's a spiritual problem.
Mm-hmm. No question there.
So, and really, I'm asking this very innocently. Why does it cause so much anger when somebody mentions that there's white privilege? When, I mean, to me, it's pretty obvious that I grew up in a very white privileged society and culture. But people get absolutely angry when anybody says that, yes, there is white privilege and has been. And our African-American friends today still suffer from that, even today.
Well, I was a poor kid that grew up in Rock Hill and yeah. had black friends. You know.
I'm not talking about you, Brad, but...
Well, that's all I can talk about.
Well, but you're one that seems to get sort of really heated when we talk about that, and I just don't see how we deny that. I mean, I'm not saying we have to harp on it or anything like that, but certainly realize that that's something that our black friends deal with every day.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're promoting it or we're, you know, we're just realizing that that is a fact of life. Mm-hmm. And I mean, again, I don't want this to digress into a thing, but that just gets really difficult to me because, and then it goes back to, you know, I agree with you 100%. Everybody in these walls equal, should be. If they're not, we need to do something about that. But when they walk outside this door, they deal with something that I don't have to deal with. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just feel like, I don't know why we have to, you know, sort of run from that, you know, and,
Well, it's a hard thing, you know, because there's perception and reality, and they've grown up with a certain perception that may no longer be as real as it was. And so, I mean, things have changed over the generations, and maybe they're still operating under the perceptions of, you know, their grandparents in a lot of ways. And I still think that they're dealing with issues, but so like everybody deals with issues, right? You're having trouble at work. You know, why didn't I get the promotion? And, well, life sucks. But if you're black, it's like, well, maybe it's because I'm black, right? And so sometimes the vicissitudes of life you can claim for certain reasons. You know, everybody's got that. Now, they do definitely, they have some prejudice, but I think it's totally different. So like my son is 17 years old. For 12 years of his life, he's had a black president or a black vice president, right? And so, you know, the majority of his life, you know, African-American's been in power. And so, you know, things have changed. It's not like they were back in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, right? So not that everything's perfect, but it you know, I think that there has to be some perspective in it too. And you know, how you do that, I don't know. You know, I think there's definitely, I mean, we go to church, which means we realize that there's bad people. And people are bad in different ways. Some of it's drugs, you know, some of it is bigotry, right? And, you know, it's always going to happen. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, blacks have been an easy target for a while. But, so yeah, I don't know. I don't think we should claim it's as bad as it was in the 50s. But, yeah, there's going to be, I think, intermittent racism, but I don't know that we can just say the world is racist or America is racist. I struggle with that one.
Mm-hmm. And so then with Ross, because we've dealt with some of these issues, it sounds like, and maybe he, it seems like he said it on that Sunday morning with the elders, that we are liberal politically. Is that what he said?
I think he thinks slanted. The congregation is slanted that way. I don't know about the leadership, but I think he feels the congregation or the feedback or the squeakier wheels that provide feedback are leaning that way.
That kind of took me back. And so I've had to think about it. Maybe that is true, and I just never knew that.
That's when I pulled up the situation when Richard, you know, became an elder, and Richard Devaney became an elder, and Richard, the other Richard,
Vaughn,
you know, said he can't be an elder because he's a Democrat. And, you know, some of us told Richard that has nothing to do with being an elder. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of left the church over that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So, you know, I think I keep going back to the fact we're brothers and sisters, and if you can't accept that, then you can't be a member of this church.
Yeah, and it gets cloudy, especially in this environment, Trump, Republican and Democrat, it really gets cloudy because if you're a Republican, some people think, oh, you're this, this, this. If you're Democrat, then you're this, this, this. And that gets pretty confusing with a lot of people.
Yeah.
I'm confused. I'm neither one. I lean more towards one than the other. And I think Ross may not understand that there's probably more Republicans than he knows in this church. And again, it's hard to be neutral. It really just is.
There's a lot of discussion historically that's gone on is, you know, what is the role of political stuff within the church?
Yeah.
And, you know, back during the Vietnam War, you know, I was one of those protesters out there protesting. But these days, you know, I think it's got to come from the church first. You know, we're not out there waving flags. But if you come here, it's what Jesus said. If our love doesn't show, then people don't believe it. Mm-hmm. And that's, to me, like I said, it's a simple solution. Now, getting people to do it is mm-hmm. difficult. But, I mean, Jesus set the program down. And, I mean, this is what the church is all about, is loving one another. Mm-hmm. If we can't get that straight, then we do have problems.
And there's a lot of people that have a lot of passionate convictions mm-hmm. that are biblical. And unfortunately, some go red and some go blue. Yeah. And we have to.
And Paul says, okay, you can have some of that. Mm-hmm. You know, different men can worship on different ways and different days or whatever you want, but Jesus is still the head of the church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to me, that next battle is coming, and we need to address this in a meeting, which, you know, and it's the whole gender thing. I mean, that's going to split a lot of people, you know, because they have children who are, you know, whatever. But, you know, I'm thankful for the fact that, you know, it seems like the pendulum swinging back to more of what I see something as, you know, people are beginning to say, yeah, there's two genders, and that's biblical. I mean, so.
And that seems to be a Republican thing.
Well, That's in Genesis. I mean,
no, but it's
looking at the pendulum is swinging
in the political world. They've made it labeled it one or the other, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. Because as soon as he was elected, 42 genders became two. Yeah. He just said, "This is the rule. We're saying one or the other. No, you don't get to choose."
Well, back to, is there anything else we need to do concerning Ross, I guess, is really what we need to decide as far as, I mean, he has a plan that I guess he's going to evaluate and decide whether this is the place for him or not. I mean, is there any unfinished piece that we need to discuss further with him? Or, I don't know what that would be. I mean, I don't know. I think we told him Sunday morning that we felt pretty good about the decision that was made. And, I feel pretty good that it was not just based solely on squeaky wheels or whatever, you know. And so we just said we didn't want to leave that without discussing it and seeing if there was something else we needed to do.
I don't think we need to circle back to Ross with anything specific, like, oh, we're going to go this direction or that or something. I want us to encourage him when we see him, not avoid him in the foyer. Yep,
right.
Got to make sure we take those opportunities to pat him on the back and talk about, you know, how the family's doing and just all those things. Appreciate he's here and sees a lot of good here and trust the process that, you know, he'll see, you know, if the grass is greener, God might call them somewhere, and or he might strengthen, hey, there's more good here than he was counting. I don't know what it's going to go. We need to let that happen, but not push him one way or the other.
I know just with his kids, boy, they would not be happy.
So his thought, adding on to what David said, so the timeline stretched out is looking probably most likely through Allie's senior year that they would be here, or at least through Max's. And that would be this three weeks here, 1 week off. And then Zeke, he doesn't think that they would have any issues leaving with that because there's still a big gap. So if they plan to leave, we're looking at, 3 years down the road, two to 3 years. But you have 1 week to look for a church. It's going to take a long time to find something that you feel comfortable.
Doesn't seem healthy to me.
I don't think that they're really trying to leave necessarily. It's just that they're just pulling back and evaluating where they're sitting at.
And I understand that, but I'm with Steve, and you know, it's like being married and saying, you know, I'm having trouble, so I'm going to see this other woman. We're not going to sleep together, but I'm going to go out on a date occasionally. And it's like, well, there's a covenant there. And when it talks about a Christian, you know, you join a church, and there's, you know, and it says it's clear, you know, churches are full of ornery, fussy people. And I think, you know, people should understand that you are committing not just to Christ, but to a church. And I don't know how you have that conversation. I mean, I appreciate the way Ross is doing it, but I just, you know, in some ways it's like if I had trouble with my wife, me occasionally going out with another woman to see if I like another woman besides my wife better, is that's not a healthy thing.
But I think that you have there's an issue with that. You live 5 minutes from the church or less.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to come to church, it's right next door. It's part of your neighborhood. Ross lives 30 minutes away from here. He drives in because of the youth group.
Yeah.
And because his parents and them used to go to live in Overland, and they all were here. And so it was different. And now he's realizing that the commitment that he's feeling to a church that he feels is a little bit more liberal than he is. and for him to spend all that time and effort to get here, anytime he has to do anything, it takes a lot of work. And so, I mean, even for me, I struggle. I live 20 plus minutes away, and I know that there's communities around me that I can patch into and probably be more of a help to them, because it takes me 5 minutes to get there, as opposed to that 15 minutes that I have to drive to get here extra, then I would go there. But, and that's where we can't let, I mean, I've been lots of places, and I know that I can generally fit in wherever I need to fit in.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things that, for him, he's not feeling, and there's two options. He just says, hey guys, we're not coming here anymore, and makes it a big problem for the whole family. Or we're going to start just looking and seeing if there's anything else that we can fit better in, this whole fit in better, that we said, but we don't want John because he doesn't fit in. That's what they're feeling. We don't necessarily fit in anymore, or because we now feel a little bit more of what's going on around us, because that something came out through that process.
Well, you're saying two things. One is proximity, and the other
that's
is
one. Yeah, that's
right.
One,
and the other is
it makes it it's an easier thing to say, hey, it's not close.
Right.
And then the other is I don't fit in,
right.
And so I'm going to start looking to see if I fit in better somewhere else. Maybe he won't find anywhere.
Yeah. Now, but, the being liberal. What? Obviously, he went to Freed Hardeman. So just the fact that he's been here for 3 years. Blows me away.
I don't even know anything but about it.
No, so
Freed
he was
at, very legalistic, very ultra-conservative.
But he didn't graduate from there. So he went to Freed, he went to Harding.
And oh, he went to Harding?
Yeah, and he graduated from somewhere else.
Huh.
So, and that was after the fact. So he went to both of them early on in his years, like the first 2 years, I guess. And then he quit school, worked and did whatever, and then graduated from a third school. And so really, yeah, he experienced lots of things, but it's always been Church of Christ.
Yeah.
So.
And so when you say we're more liberal than what he would be, not in what ways?
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Ladies' role?
I think more politically liberal.
Okay, and that's where I'm like, are we really? Now, we're not conservative.
Correct.
And we're not liberal. I think, and this is, I thought we were a little more in the middle there. I could be totally wrong.
But I think that squeaky wheel is the problem. That whole piece, that the squeaky wheel is sounding, and we're giving them, because they're squeakier, their opinion is ruling over anything that's on the conservative side.
Okay.
That's what he's feeling.
Yeah, so, right. That makes sense.
But
is that really the case?
The Mayberries left within the last year because they weren't feeling the church was liberal enough for them to fit in longer. And there's plenty of positives that they've communicated, but you know, the call to live in the city and find, you know, maybe worship folks close by that are also committed to the city and those kind of things.
And the fact that they were here for 30 years amazed me that they stuck around that long.
And so the catalyst for that, you know, has occurred in this last year too.
Yeah.
And so we have both things happening here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think maybe this is to get our attention and help us make sure we're coming from the Word and we are valuing everybody.
Yeah.
And they can have a different opinion, but they belong. And so that belonging message, and Jesus example after example after example. And so maybe this is a call to make sure, are we deliberate enough about that message? Because that'll cross the boundaries. And, I mean, we can't control everybody's perception, perspective, but we can do our best to do that. You know, it's coming from the Word, and everybody belongs. difficult as that is, you know.
Yeah.
But that's what we're trying to navigate. And are we hiring someone who can reinforce that?
Yeah.
As opposed to a flavor or another flavor.
Yeah. And hiring somebody that's a conservative Southern, does it seem like a good fit?
Yeah, the congregation trusting that that person is going to reinforce this, everyone belongs, and you know,
we are a complicated church.
Yeah,
definitely.
Regional, not such a, you know, but anyway, I kind of, that seems to be what resonates is, and I think we can support that.
Yeah.
And let's catch each other if we're drifting from it, or let's reinforce that.
Yeah. Well, what does that mean, though? I've always struggled with everyone belongs, and I mean, I know what it means, but I don't know how you show it. And you know, I know several years ago, it's like, well, our worship is too much this way, and so maybe we need to mix it up and occasionally have different worships, different times, and you know, we'll have Joyce West lead it for this week, and we'll have somebody else do it this week. And so, you know, I don't know what that means, and I don't like that attitude, because you'll never cover everybody, and you know, you're going to have people sitting in the pews, and 80-year-olds, like, well, we're not singing the same songs we sang when I was in church, or somebody. And everybody's got their own flavor, right? And so I don't know what practically that would mean, that, you know, everybody belongs, and we hear you, and we value you. And because a lot of people are going to say, no, you don't, because you don't sing my songs my way, or, you know, those kinds of things. And so,
well, you know, the things like, if someone's been divorced, they're not second class.
Right.
Or you got single mother, she can't volunteer to teach in the nursery, or wherever we catch that kind of, or say it, you know, hey, we, you know, so-and-so's a new member, and not to label them, but, you know, not, I don't know, wherever we catch ourselves, or someone else saying, you can, you know, I'm not so sure I like so-and-so teaching or being in the nursery. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk to them about that. What is it that makes you fearful, or what do you know, and legitimate or not, but, you know, well, I don't trust, you know, he's from Louisiana, or whatever the label's going to be. That, you know, I mean, when we catch it, let's say, oh, well, let's not just leave that. Let's,
and I think the first question should be, if you got a problem with a brother or sister, you're supposed to go talk to them.
And so can we be, you know, encouraging that? And if we hear it, or when we hear it, or if somebody says,
I think, you know, build on Brad's point. There's room for everybody who's here that wants to be here, but there is a standard. There is, you know, a definition of morality that we are supposed to be attending to.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, these kids, my own, I'm looking at how the parents are spending all this money sending kids to every soccer, baseball, whatever, and they're all playing on Sundays now, and you know, the idea that this is going to be really great for them is a myth. You know, less than 2% of those kids are ever going to benefit, you know,
but
we know that 100% of what's going to happen is that every one of those kids is going to stand before Jesus someday, and you know, that's the point of view that I want to get across, and there's probably some people who don't hear that message, but
and as a church, are we considered liberal for being a welcoming church, having David Richardson has been coming for 10 or 11 years and loving him, Lainey Jones, I guess she grew up here, and her still feeling comfortable coming here. Is that good or bad?
I hope she's uncomfortable.
No, he said she's comfortable.
Is she comfortable? Oh. Evidently, she's comfortable coming because she keeps coming.
Yeah.
And so we're welcoming them and we're loving them. Is that what we're supposed to do? Is that what Jesus would do?
No, Jesus would tell the woman when caught in adultery that you can be forgiven, but you go and sin no more. I mean...
And unfortunately, we don't know the rest of that story. I wish I would have loved to.
But I mean, man, my small group years ago, we had adultery going on in the church, and it was a real problem. Mm-hmm. And, I think Mid County had some of the same thing. So you call it what it is. Mm-hmm. And, you can't walk away from if somebody's a thief or somebody is, jumping in bed with somebody else's wife and it becomes knowledgeable, then, you address it.
So back to Lainey and David. Are we right or wrong in the way we dealt or not dealt with that?
My understanding with David was that he has a predilection in the past, but he is monogamous at this point, to my knowledge.
Well, but what do you mean by monogamous?
He's not having sex with other men.
Well, he has a partner. Has for 30 years.
No, that's something I didn't know.
So what do we do with that? Stuff like that.
Well, I think we talked to him about it then. I had no knowledge of it. I was told that, in the past he had had those issues, but he was no longer doing those things.
Well, those things, he's been in a relationship with this man for it's more than 30 years, I guess now. I mean, it's been maybe closer to 40 years now.
First I've heard of it. Lainey, I heard Keaton say, yeah, she's living with, I forgot the good girl's name. But
so, let's go beyond what we do with those. Yeah. Because they're coming here and we welcome them, does that make us, going back to Ross's thing, does that make us politically liberal? Is that some of the stuff that he would come back to, or am I getting off the subject?
I think the subject is, what would Jesus do?
Yeah, and that's a tough one.
Yeah.
It is.
He the woman at the well was living with someone who wasn't her husband. Mm-hmm. And he didn't address that directly with her. And she was evangelical like crazy.
Yeah.
Bringing folks to him, to our knowledge. He didn't address it directly. And so I tend to give a lot of grace to that. Mm-hmm. I want my son, both of my boys now live with their girlfriends. Mm-hmm. Jeremy moved in with his earlier this year. So mm-hmm. I want them both to attend here and hear the word and not have anybody get up in their grill.
Yeah.
And I've encouraged moral behavior, but I don't bring that up every time I see him either.
Yeah.
And so I keep going back to that where, okay, I'm going to treat somebody else the way I treat my own boys. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know where that line is.
Yeah.
Because both Bryant and Michael, Cannon and Bryant Taylor, were living with their now wives. Mm-hmm. And I went to lunch with both of them and just had a conversation about, you don't have to do that. You guys could move in together, share one of your apartments, your others, until you're ready. You could do things God's way, and they did not change that, but they did marry.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I didn't push any harder, and they were welcome. It's played out good, but I'm not confident that we addressed it enough. But that's just another living example of who's here and in my own life, and I'm not sure because I want to be welcoming.
Yeah.
And this is where you learn the gospel and you let the Holy Spirit convict people. But there are things that the church should not just turn a blind eye to. That is clear too. And so that's just going to be, you know, we lean on the Holy Spirit and, you know, let's do our best to figure it out together. I too just learned in the last month that David Richardson has a partner. I didn't know that. And so I've been thinking and praying for him. I don't know what to do with that because and so he feels comfortable here. What if he brought his partner? Mm-hmm. Does that change anything? The partner deserves to hear the word from the pulpit and... Mm-hmm. And I'm sure some would freak out. And should we? Or is that too tolerant? What difference does that make? They both deserve to be here if he deserves to be here. Mm-hmm. It's just our comfort level.
Just have him sit on the other side of the room and nobody will ever notice. Walk out together.
And so, you know, that's just a very real example I don't have answers to. But I don't want us to pretend... either. Mm-hmm. Are we close enough to David? I'm not, don't have conversations with him.
Well, I think when he first came, Jeff had a conversation with him and told him where we stood with everything.
Okay.
And he, this was a long time ago, I may not have the story right, but he went to visit his sister in Nashville and went to church with her and just started bawling like a baby because he missed that. He came back and started coming.
Okay.
And Jeff talked with him and said, we, you know, just told him where we stand on
great.
That.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, being willing to talk about it and stuff.
Yeah.
So he knows. So.
Yeah. If we have knowledge, I think we have responsibilities to do something.
Well, and so did we already do that? Did Jeff already do that?
Jeff told me when I asked the question, you know, he said, no, he's not doing what he used to do. And I took that to mean, oh, great, you know, he's, you know, trying to live.
Yeah. That's kind of what I've always thought until about a month ago, too. So.
Mm-hmm. If our facts are wrong, we need to address it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it took Barney Dolan 30 years, but, you know, the church made... I think what we did with Marty, I mean, it killed a lot of stuff in terms of, you know, his family suffering by that. But at the end, you know, we said he slid in, you know, home plate just in time. But he knew he was welcome to come here. But the church said, you're living with a woman you're not married to, and therefore you cannot be a member of this church. And he was told that, and the elders, you know, made it clear. And I know for Barbara it was terrible, but I think that's what we're supposed to be doing, is we're holding people accountable. We're not judging. Only God gets to judge. But, I mean, there's enough there that says elders are supposed to be shepherding the flock, and if somebody is, you know, a thief or doing something that's wrong, we just can't sit back and have a blind eye to that.
And how do we deal with greed? Again, we go on with a lot of those things, and which I read an article this past weekend, and I copied and pasted and put it in my notes in my phone, and just like, man, I don't know what to do with it.
Well, we have members here who don't contribute hardly at all.
Yeah, what do you do with that?
You get in the pulpit and you say, you know, everything belongs to God, and we're supposed to be, you know, creating good first fruits to, you know, build up the congregation and the church.
And why do we do it from the pulpit and not get with them one-on-one?
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm asking questions. I don't know.
And I think also, you know, in Ephesians last week, we, you know, one of the verses we read is speaking the truth in love. And so often we're ready to speak the truth. It's the love part. And you know, if nobody has a relationship with him, this man, and we're just quoting a rule book, I don't like the way that feels. You know, if nobody,
you know, I have a great relationship with him.
Right, yeah. But in so, you know, I would think only in a situation where you do both of those would it be appropriate. But, you know, again, I'm with Steve, is that there is a spectrum of sins, and where do we meet with them? When do we talk to the pulpit? You know, when do we, you know, how do we do that? Is it when they say, yeah, I want to place membership, then we talk about these things? Or, you know, how do we do it? I don't know. But, you know, I don't want to arbitrarily just all of a sudden say, you know, these two sins are on the target, and, you know, we got to call people out on them. I think we need to take the Bible seriously, but there's a lot in the Bible we need to take seriously.
And is it a compliment to us that David knows what we believe and he comes here for 10, 12 years or more and feels loved?
Yeah. Yeah, I think as long as we're clear on what we stand for, you know. Mm-hmm. If he ever, you know, says, I'd like to get married here, or, you know, renew my vows here, hopefully he doesn't feel comfortable doing that, because, right. You know, it's like, no, that's not who we are.
And so, okay, I'm bringing it back to Ross. The fact that we don't address those, does that make us, in his mind, a little more liberal?
I think in Ross's mind is if those squeaky wheels came to us and we didn't ask about it, you know, like if somebody came, I mean, the way I understand Ross is saying, it's like if somebody said, yeah, we need to be more accepting to LGBTQ, and we don't respond to that. I think what Ross is saying is, you know, why don't you ask them what their motivation is, why they're bringing that up.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a fair assessment of what he was trying to promote.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad we're coming up with a lot of answers here.
Yeah. Yeah, the only one I have, again, is that, you know, hey, the elders, we're getting a lot of feedback, and, you know, a lot of all over the place, you know, liberal, conservative, people like this, people like that on both sides. And, you know, we just need to understand that, you know, we're a church of different people, and, you know, the elders are going to try to find somebody that's going to preach God's word. And, you know, we want feedback, but, you know, understand that.
I hope Ross will have the situation where, you know, I always tell people, if grass is always greener over the septic tank, you
right,
know,
right.
It's good till you get there. And maybe that'll be it. I think we just have to love him more and try to pull him in any way, shape, or form that we can. And, you know, it's a lose-lose proposition to, you know, like say we're going to open everything up and he can see who said what and all that. That would be a disaster.
He can probably guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was surprised with quite a few of them. And I appreciated all of them. And I appreciate the fact that people really took some time to
think and pray.
Write, and then looking at several of his sermons, and that's more than what I did. One was enough for me. I mean, I liked his preaching, but
okay, so I guess good there, move on. And
answered Ross's two questions.
Did we set a date for a Andrew Owens interview weekend, half interview weekend? Has that date been set yet?
I've been out of town and just seeing things on.
We got the pick a date or the thing from Steve that said which date works best, didn't we?
Yeah, but I don't think he ever decided he didn't pick one that I know of.
Okay. I was trying to hold them both dates open still, so I just didn't know.
Yeah. The two were the 27th and the 10th.
I think that's right. 27th is a Sunday. And
part of me thinks
that the 27th is a Sunday date.
Yeah, the 26th. And I won't be here for that, but I don't mind you guys meeting without me. I know them pretty well. The 10th seems like it's pretty far away to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got a quorum here. Why don't we just say let's pick a date and do it?
Am I the only one that can't make it?
Somebody else flexible. Said something.
I don't. I have to go back and look at what he said.
I don't remember who it was, but it may have been Steve then. Because I remember there were Steve. You had opened up that way. The 27th was bad for you, but somebody maybe it was somebody on the staff.
Maybe then. Was it you?
What's that?
You weren't available on the 27th, 26th?
Well, let me find my email.
But yeah, I'm with Brad. As long as we get a quorum, you know, simple majority, you know, 4 would be good. 4 or 5.
I can't find that email.
Yeah, it's called Friday and Saturday dates for Andrew. So you have to sort of...
From Steve?
Yeah, well, the chain is, yeah. So I have mine all separated, but...
So do you have my response? What did I say?
Can't you look at your calendar and see what you
The Nat date works best for me. The May date.
May date, that's right. Which was May the
10th is a Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're hoping to push it up quicker.
Mother's Day is the next.
Versus the April 26th. What was April
26th? Oh, the retreat, that's why. So the elders retreat
is that morning?
Was that 10th, was the same day.
But they talked about just having that in the morning, then that afternoon meeting with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's available the afternoon of the 26th, and we're available the afternoon of the 10th. So,
well, the 26th is okay for everybody else. I can make it. I can't remember now why. I have to look at the calendar at home. I don't have that one. But,
and Brad, you only said the 26th for you. You didn't say anything about the other day. Brett, you didn't say any date, or did you say either date?
26 may be iffy, but again, it's whatever the quorum, whatever serves most people.
But then we're hoping to staff dinner with them Friday night, ministry leaders Saturday night.
Yeah. Wait, no ministry leaders, no.
Yeah, we were just going to do a half staff.
Right.
Okay. Gotcha.
The staff and elders, so the Friday night.
Okay.
And he's at our office all the time, so... On Tuesdays, usually, or Wednesdays,
so
I think
he
shows up.
A hotel room or anything, so.
So my hope is that, in this abbreviated, we get a good enough feel for this guy that the elders will, you know, kind of make a decision beforehand. You know, hey, what do you think of this guy? And so I know for myself, you know, when I started getting feedback, you know, it swayed me. Now, I should take it serious, right? But I think we should, as elders, give our opinion explicitly before we start getting feedback from the congregation, so maybe make it a little easier.
But I think that you got to take feedback pretty seriously.
Oh, I'm not saying we shouldn't, but yeah. I don't want to wait till after because you know, I think Dave made a good point is, you know, why do we feel this? What do we, you know, I think we should, mm-hmm. you know, all of us in our home write down half a sheet of paper on what our feelings are. And then we listen to the congregation and some of that may change, but, mm-hmm. you know, we should be pretty confident in what we're thinking. Mm-hmm.
We'll say the 26th.
I've got it circled, 4/26.
Yeah. Is that still one for you?
Yeah.
And is there any value in reaching out to Josh Nix and just seeing if he'd be interested at all? Or
I would say we wait till after this.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Why do you say that?
Well, we just throw out the bait to him, and then we pull it back and say, sorry.
Yeah, if everything goes quite well here, and Josh is still in his first year at his current spot, and so I kind of feel like let's not disrupt that.
Yeah.
That's, when we've got...
When's this meeting with...
Oh, I just... He and I talked about getting
coffee. Andrew Owens.
Oh, with...
On the 26th, what time is that meeting?
It's going to be in the afternoon, but that details haven't been set.
Okay.
No, we afternoon. Just know he's tied up in the morning.
Is that what it was?
He's got something going. And so that, you know, mid-afternoon might be 2:30 or give him time to travel from Illinois and stuff. So.
Okay. All right. Do we want to continue our discussion about the idea of Jeff Kreider doing some sort of fill-in to help with the preaching and scheduling preaching? And I know we just started talking about that at the last meeting, and I think there was some pretty significant challenge to that, so I just thought we'd better talk about that some more. So.
Yeah, the more could pray more about it, but the more I've been thinking about it, the more I think that runs against the advice of the Abilene folks, where that gap, you know, we bring them back on the staff, even part-time, is just, I think that was a point well made at our previous discussion that resonates with me. And so I like that he's willing to preach occasionally, that's good. And I don't want to push him to more than that, setting up the series and employing him. I just, that feels like we're ignoring some advice that was pretty strong. And we're doing our own thing anyway. He's being here, and I'm glad he's here. And plug him back in, and, you know, that's appropriate. But I don't think hiring him back part-time, I don't, you know. Okay. I'd abrogate not, I guess.
His proposal of twice a month I thought was too much. I didn't mind it once a month and then him helping, which he did it Sunday, getting some of those that I lined up here, and I'll give you this before the day's over, for the series on small things, wise and wonderful, and he's thought through all that stuff, and him helping kind of help with that series. With this one, when we talked to him about these things, I talked to different people, asked if they would do it, then he just met with them.
Okay.
And him, what he's able to do is not what I'm able to do. I'm not smart enough. He thinks a lot about that stuff. So I feel comfortable with him helping out with some of the series, and him, like with this, he's preaching the 27th, and that's it for once every 2 months is what he's doing with that. And again, all this is, I'm not putting together another series after the 28th because I'm waiting to see what happens as far as hiring somebody. So all that said, I'd have no problem paying him every time he preaches, kind of like we're doing with Philip. And with Philip, we're paying him. We thought he was an exception because he he's a missionary raising his own support and doing that, and he appreciates that. And with Jeff, he's retired, looking for ways to make in, bring in some income. And so I would say, you know, we decided to pay Philip $300 when he preaches. I have no problem with paying Jeff $300 when he preaches, and then maybe $100 for helping. I don't know how to put pay for the other part. That's just me.
So are you going to pay the other retired people that preach $300?
No.
For people that were looking for jobs?
No. I think this would be a little special situation because he has preached here and he wants to help do some of that. And he's asked.
But as a member, I mean, that's he should feel the need to help with that, I think, too.
Yeah.
If that's as a member, he should feel that. I mean, I felt the need, and I didn't offer to take wages to be the children's minister. I offered to do the VBS for free, and you guys decided to pay me, yes. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing, that by coming with an offer, hey, I'll make you an offer, that's a bit different. Mm-hmm. So I feel uncomfortable about it. I feel if we need somebody to do that job, then we can get it done. I think that there's people around that would be happy to help arrange that for free, arrange sermons and things like that.
I think he's gifted in that area.
It's okay. Lots of people are gifted in that area.
I don't see him around here.
So,
do you see him around here?
Who?
People here at this church?
Yeah, I think there's people at this church that are gifted enough to arrange sermons and to come up with ideas of what should be preached next. And so, I mean, it's just one of the things that, yes, he has the ability because he's been doing it for the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that we need to supplement his retirement by paying him.
Yeah, no, we don't. We don't have to. And we haven't yet.
Brad?
Yeah, I'm torn. I like Jeff, but I do understand what Dave's saying about Seibert. And, you know, Jeff Kreider, he's got a strong personality, and rightly so. He takes a lot of ownership in what he does. So he'd be a strong voice. You know, but I think maybe once a month, him doing it. And you know, because, again, in my head, I would love to have Jeff in, you know, the end of this year, maybe come in being an elder or something like that, and just think he's got a lot of value that he can bring to the church. But I want to be sensitive to the process and to whoever the new minister would be. And I think there needs to be maybe some separation. And you know, maybe once a month like he's doing now would be fine. But, you know, he's very gifted in setting up sermons and stuff like that. But I guess, you know, we need to maintain some distance in that, I think. So I would love to hear him speak. But maybe there's wisdom in kind of showing some restraint in that. Maybe once a month, I think, would be good.
And how do you feel about paying him for that? And again,
yeah,
he's preaching the 27th, but not again there's until at the most July.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think when he preaches, he's just preaching as one of the congregants. And we haven't, you know, signed up for this deal. And so I wouldn't be compelled to.
Yeah.
It wouldn't hurt my feelings. But, I mean, then it does kind of open the door for a lot of other people. It may just be easier not to. you know, because, again, we're not, unless we go with the deal he's talking about. And, you know, mm-hmm. So I guess that's where I'm at. Donald?
I guess I'm sort of in a minority here. I when I heard the offer the first time, I thought it was pretty good on several fronts, just that it was an opportunity to bring some consistency and skill set that, you know, it was obviously there, and you know, seemed like a reasonable approach, since we've proved now for a year this isn't going to be a quick process, you know. And I feel bad that it's fallen on Steve's shoulders. You know, he's done a great job.
Yeah.
Just getting people to.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I really am.
But then you still lose some of the consistency,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you do.
And so I guess I would, if you just ask me, I'd be for it. But I can see where you guys are coming from. And if that's the feeling, then that's.
And
it's fine, but
let me throw this out. I'm fine doing this, and I don't want to be paid, and financially I'm doing fine. I don't know if he is. So.
Okay.
Brad?
I expressed my opinion last time, but any change?
You expressed half of it. As far as the pay, I just didn't know about him doing the other stuff.
This is the first I've heard that we were paying Philip. I didn't know that.
We discussed that at a elders meeting.
I recall it.
Yeah. I'll check my notes. I record everything.
Twice.
Yeah.
It's gospel.
Yeah.
Does anybody else remember?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a deliberate exception because of the circumstances.
I mean, Jeff has talents, absolutely, you know, and I'm all for if he wants to volunteer that, you know, of course. But I think creating another job for him would set us backwards in terms of finding people. And I would prefer that, you know, right now, you know, I agree that there are people around here who can, you know, fill in, maybe not be as, you know, literate or whatever, but we can certainly fill the pulpit with people that I think can bring a message from the Bible that, you know, will be in accordance with what God would want. And I'm happy to help and do that in any way, shape, or form. So I don't have series planned, but, you know, I can get up every Sunday if I needed to and preach the gospel. It's, you know, it's not a problem.
Anybody want to put a straw man out there as to where we go with that? Or, I mean, do we just...
When is our next meeting, elder meeting?
Well, it's the first and third, right? So,
next week.
Sure. Yeah, that's right.
Well, it sounds like we just keep going as we have been. Although, at this table, we're pretty fickle, because I'm trying to do what people say. At one point, people are like, let's get three people and have them... And another time it's I'm trying to do the best I can with what people are saying at the table. Is this okay, what we're doing now? And I'll give this
to you. Yeah, I should pass that out.
Is this the upcoming sequence?
Yes.
Okay.
And series.
Which has changed already?
People, yeah, it's, since I printed this at about 3:00, it's, I'm going to have to change because Eric can't do Mother's Day anymore. And I'm trying to get hold of Katie Holloway, and she's been sick. She finally texted me tonight and said she'll get back with me with that. And hopefully that date will work for her. It's almost like a puzzle, but that's the fun part of the whole thing, I guess. Susie Burge asked about the 4th because that's the family retreat. But we told her most people will be back.
Yeah, we are not canceling classes or anything that day.
Yeah,
so
okay.
The assumption is that
yeah,
there will be very few people at camp still.
So June 22nd surprises me.
Jason Vincent?
Right.
Yeah.
Because I thought, you know, the feedback was, great guy, does a great class, but maybe his sermons aren't.
Yeah.
And so I just...
That was my opinion.
Right.
And so he had asked about this, and then so I was trying to fill it in. And to finish up that series, he had asked me about doing something on the Prophetess Anna, and I had to think, look it up and see, what did she do? And
yeah.
It was pretty cool, and it really fits with this. Mm-hmm. Jeff and I talked about it today. I'm like, he couldn't remember Anna either. Mm-hmm. And she's in Luke 2, where her husband had died, and so she would just go to the temple every day and pray and fast. And that's when, and then Jesus came. It was right after Simeon.
Okay. Oh, I see.
And that's just a small thing, but a great thing.
And I would agree with you, Jason's last time, it wasn't impressive, but I can remember previous times where he spoke, and it was outstanding. So I don't know if it was a...
Just tell me he's got to hold it to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just to be very blunt, we don't have many here that are good preachers,
right.
But we got a lot of good teachers.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And it makes that liminal period even better. So when we find somebody who comes in, I won't say that outside of this room, and I've said it, I think, another time, but it's okay, I think. And so...
I sent out that letter on who should preach. And you know, anybody can, but that doesn't mean everybody should. And mm-hmm. You know, your 8-year-old daughter's learning to cook. You know, she shouldn't run a restaurant, right? You're not going to get a whole lot of customers, right? You're going to chase them all away. And so, you know, there's just that danger is if we keep, you know, putting up the B string, you know, how's the congregation going to say about that? Now, I think we've been doing great.
Yeah, I've gotten positive input from people.
Right, so I'm saying you've done great. You've put good people up there, but just to start putting a warm body up there makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Where, so I think we're doing great. And I believe we're the priesthood of believers, but I don't think that means everybody should get up there and preach.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Okay. I agree. And knowing Jason, knowing his heart,
right.
And this was something he was passionate about, mm-hmm. that can change things. And it may be a mom. I don't mm-hmm. know.
We'll find out. I like Jason.
Yeah. And then I got Mother's Day. I don't want to get a woman up there on Mother's Day. That just almost seems like it's not good. Yeah. So,
one question.
Yeah.
It's funny that Chris Fuller is on Father's Day, but he's not a father.
He picked that.
Did he? He picked that
because of, originally he was going to talk about his stepfather, and then he's a stepfather, mm-hmm. little things that cause great results.
I got you.
So,
okay.
But I got an email today after meeting with Jeff yesterday. A group of them did. He changed to doing this one. So I don't know what he's thinking.
So if he's changing, could that fit on Mother's Day and you put Eric on Father's Day?
Eric's not available on the 15th.
What?
I might be able to change.
Available 2 days.
I might be able to change, put Matthew Bardwell and switch him around. So I got all the emails. They said they could do it and couldn't do it. And then I got one lady who's a daughter of a minister here, she can't come up with what she said, I'll do it. And so I got the date, but she can't plug in what she really wants to do or not. So, but whatever she decides will be good. So that's through the 28th.
Looks good.
Okay.
So. So I...
Thank you for this, and then fine-tune, you'll do. So.
I was going to make another point after I gave this out. Does anybody remember what it was?
You said things were changing, but I think you already mentioned what those were.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about Jeff's
role.
And
so we can keep it as it is right now through July. Mm-hmm.
So how soon, if we cruise along this path, how soon would we have to say, okay, we've got to start working on the next sequence?
I would probably...
Need to be a month or longer?
Probably June 1st, I would start thinking about it and seeing what happens with Andrew.
Right.
And so then that's when I would probably start.
Right. So I think Jeff deserves a response sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll meet next Monday, the 21st, the third Monday? And this was just an exception?
This was the exception, yeah.
Okay. So you want to finalize the Kreider decision on at that meeting and then give them feedback and say, hey, we've got a series for all of April and May.
Yeah.
And so we don't feel a need for that.
And our hesitation is the liminal period that the cyber people is what it, I think that would be.
And then if we're still on this path June 1st, you know, we could bring that up again. But mm-hmm. I don't know. That's
and the whole cyber thing, does that say no to him speaking and helping to arrange this like he's been doing? Or is it just not paying him?
Well, I don't mind him preaching the once a month as like any one of these members could.
Right, yeah.
That'd be fine. Let's set aside paying him or not for that. But I don't want to ask him to set up a whole sermon series when he's saying, I need to be paid if I'm going to do that.
Right.
And he's offering to do that. I feel like he's telling us,
Don't
expect that of me.
Right. And I can continue as I've been doing and get him to help me with what he did this past time.
Okay.
The series we're doing now was one of his ideas as far as working on, and he met with Kayla, and I think he's met with Sarah and
kind of helped them to
Philip, to develop it, and so that, which I think is important, so that it feels like a series, so people are doing that.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Wouldn't mind if we work through a book or something, you know.
Mm-hmm. But when you got
as a series, so
non-professionals doing it, it's a little harder to be textual versus topical, I think.
Yeah. Well, Don always had the idea of using a video series like we did before the NT Wright. That, you know, that seems to work well. So.
Yeah, there's a lot. Andy Stanley's got some good stuff out there. And several other people have good stuff out there. Yeah.
So,
okay. Anything else?
Is there a date for Children's Dedication Sunday?
It's in the fall. It's on the calendar.
Okay. So it's not the date of the potluck?
No, it is
coming up. That's going to be.
Why don't you guys throw the calendar here?
I was glad that was on your radar. I just didn't remember where it landed.
It was scheduled wherever we had had it for the year before.
No, I did March.
And it was just last year we skipped it because there was only one baby. And
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I think it's Brett or Dave.
Dave.
What's up?
Who's up next month?
I was before you, so it's not me.
Okay.
I better
make
myself
a note.
I've got it somewhere in here.
He's the one who said Brett.
Yeah.
He said
Dave. Elders meeting leaders. Okay. Yep. Dave Weiler.
And it's down by the copyright.
And then July and August is me.
Yes.
And I'll have a son that just bought a 100-year-old house.
I was going to need a lot of your help.
And a granddaughter, so I don't know when I'll be around.
And I guess while we're here, Don had asked, this has been over a year now, this when the time is right for him to step down. And I just want to make sure that we keep that on the radar too. And Don, I appreciate you staying around because everything going on right now. But I just want to make sure that, you know, I occasionally put that in the notes, but I know that that's something you've been talking about even when Keaton was talking about it. So appreciate you sticking around.
Yeah. No.
Time's not right.
Well, no.
That's my vote.
I'm ready at any time. So.
I think you're doing a great job.
Well, one thing I did think about, though, I think what I'd like to see happen is somehow, and I don't know the best way to do it, is that we approach some of these younger guys that we've eyed and invite them to be a part of this group, you know, and like Jeff's doing and like Dave, you did. And really, I don't know, put some pressure on them somehow, you know, because I think our younger men have to step up, or we're going to be in a world of hurt. You know, I think that's part of our story to them. You know that, hey, you know, I just feel like we need that freshness, like we with Dave, Jeff.
I mean, even Brett and Jeff, and I just think that would be important to do sooner than later. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've all talked about guys that we feel like are on that list, and so.
Yeah, and I think one of the issues, so I'll speak as the one that's not even official, so is that, and I struggle as the children's minister, and I know that Jeff had struggled prior to that, is that getting a lot of the people to commit to anything. I know Ross, that was one of the big things that he had struggled with, that he hasn't really led anything, he hasn't helped with leading anything, and I think that's where... And you don't necessarily have to lead, but you have to be able to appoint shepherd. And that's where I think a lot of them, they may have their small group, and they may share the shepherding of that small group as opposed to actually leading it. And I think that's where most of them, if you were to address them, they'd be like Ross and have that same concern. I don't really feel like I'm fit for that. And I don't feel like I'm fit for it still. But that's another question. And sometimes you have to fake it till you make it.
Mm-hmm. It's very true. If you wait till you feel like you're fit for it, yes. It won't happen.
You won't get married, you won't have kids.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. And now, if we don't change things structurally, we will continue as we've been going, correct. And we will die.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that we merged and we had 12 elders. That were active, and little by little they've either died, moved away, and we've put in three people. There's mm-hmm. three people that, or four people if you count me. There's only two left of the originals. Because I don't think you were
here. When we merged, I was.
You were run by that point. Okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember.
Just right then.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that all the others, Steve Jones is the only other one that is sort of still fit enough to where he could be in the group. Everybody else is either old enough or Walker was here too. Sorry. Yeah. But it's one of those things that it did not progress of pulling people in. Mm-hmm. Some of it's probably that deacon piece that doesn't exist in our congregation in the way that we have it. Like, and a lot of the people that are ministry leaders are not people that we would consider inviting into this room, whether it's their life situation or whatever. I mean, I don't know the reasonings why they've not been invited, but that's what we've always said, that the ministry leaders is sort of that stepping stone almost, but most of the people that we want is to be in those stepping stones are not there. And so that's where it's that problem, and that's where Ross felt, because he wasn't on any of those stepping stones to get, mm-hmm. he wasn't a ministry leader of anything, and mm-hmm. maybe we just have to choose all the women that are ministry leaders right now. Yeah.
I'm still of the opinion 5 to 7. You don't mean, that's a good number.
But if two of them are, because Steve, if he moves away, and
he's not moving away.
He mentioned that.
No, he's not.
Yeah. And then
we had a son move back to St. Louis, so we're kind of scratching our head. What do we do with that?
Is it Aaron buying a house?
No.
Oh,
no, Adam. Adam.
They're
buying another house.
Okay.
100-year-old house. And it's in good shape, but you know how 100-year-old houses are.
It's always something.
Well, he grew up in a 100-year-old house.
I guess.
It's always something.
Okay.
So.
Anything else? September 28th is your date.
Close this out. Lord, we just want to thank you for your patience, and that for whatever reason you've called us to be your children, and you've put us together, and we're your body, not because of similarity of our predilections, our political beliefs, our culture, our all these things that separate the world. But Father, may we be united in our love for you, for the recognition of what you've done, and just really try to be patient with one another and to build one another up. And I pray that we are willing to talk to those that may be struggling or maybe have different opinions of us. Father, that we're not afraid of the hard conversations. And I pray also, Father, that we do understand what your will is and the things that pain you and the sin that we need to put aside, and that in ourselves and in this body, Father, that we do have a standard of how people should behave and compose themselves as members of your church, it is your children. And God, in that, though, I pray that we always understand that we are saved by grace through faith, not by works, mm-hmm. so that no man may boast. And Father, that there's nothing we can do to justify this. And I just pray mostly that we understand your love and that we can share that with the people around us, Father, that we can share it with our neighbors and that we can share it with those that are hurting. And we just pray that we are trusting in you and the future of this congregation. In Christ's name, amen.
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 Close the rain center.
Oh, faith in action?
Yeah.
That's right. It's supposed to rain a lot.
It better not rain because I'm going to come over here and set up the Easter egg.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you're going to do it Saturday? Put the eggs out?
No.
Oh, I was going to say
put the ropes up and yeah, everything.
Divide up the kids.
Yeah. 85% chance of rain.
Okay.
No, we need to be praying more.
Yeah, Easter egg hunts are
is it,
full contact sports anymore.
There's a line there. I never understood that line.
And on a hill.
Is that mean that's when they expect the rain?
Roll. Oh, yeah.
So it's good you separated the toddlers probably, from the older kids.
It is. It's more than
it's still not separation.
So, yeah. Are they mostly outdoor projects?
Yeah.
We can put them over there and have a
fence. Three widows doing mulching. The vein is going to pick it up sticks and stuff.
Rental property is going to do something?
They try to run through each other.
Gene Gray.
Carol?
Right. It was Carol's to take it to Gene's, right? The sticks.
Yeah, he's the one that said with Carol. Right. Yeah, that's what Carol was. Yeah.
Out,
yeah.
He's, this is not a good question. Yeah, we used to do the one.
I'll give you guys an update. Revenue was transferred to another prison.
I didn't realize
the appeal didn't.
He was smashed the whole chair.
How long
ago? Earlier this year. I guess it's been. Let's see, this is April.
It was last year, like August or September. Yeah, August, September of last year.
So it was local, and then they finally got the court hearing,